Presentation Podcast. Join us from inside the design studios for conversations about presentation design, strategies, tips and tricks, running a design studio, and more, all for presentation designers, managers, and presenters. Here are your hosts, Troy Collar, Nolan Hames, and Sandra Johnson.
Hi, I'm Troy Collar from TLC Creative Services, based in Southern California.
Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. This is Sandy Johnson with Presentation Wiz in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
And I'm Nolan Hames from Nolan Hames Creative in Overcast, Montclair, New Jersey.
Hey, so it's a lot going on in the world, presentation work, lots going on. Like to hear what's going on in your studios. I've got if I sound a little asleep, it's probably because I am. Last night was my first night sleeping in my own bedroom, and I like crashed, and it was so nice to be on. Well, I was on this bed the last few nights that was literally like sleeping on concrete. It was an actual mattress, but I've never slept on something so firm. So last night I slept really, really hard. It was great to be home, at least for a few days here. And business wise, I actually just got a great phone call yesterday. These are the type of things that we all live for. Got a call, very established company who said, hey, we want to make sure you've got this on your radar. It's for May of 2019. And we're going to need, we need your support. It has a full set of, basically I get to help with an entire event, branding it and creating the storyline for it and gathering the information from the execs.
Nice.
Then doing the presentations and whatnot. And it's at a little place called Pebble Beach. So, it's a really hard place. It's just horrible to go to. So it was an awesome phone call. That was as we were driving our 8-hour stretch, driving home from the Bay Area. And the reason we were in the Bay Area, our youngest Ashley is now an official registered student at San Francisco State with a full load for her first semester of classes and whatnot. But we spent the whole weekend up there discovering just nice. How expensive it is to live in the Bay Area.
Oh my gosh.
What's happening, Nolan? Sandy?
I've got the New York City Triathlon this Sunday. That's
wow.
So it's early this year. So I've been
okay.
We'll see how my training. I did a warm up triathlon a couple weekends ago and didn't quite do as good as I wanted. So we'll see. But I'm doing something interesting this year. My mother's coming in and we'll have the babies and everything. So it's going to be a little harder for them to sort of find where I am. So we have a GPS little thing for our dog in case he gets lost. We can track him on the phone. So this year I'm not going to wear the collar, but there's a little thing that comes off.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to put in my pocket. So Ty and my mom will be able to track me where in New York City I am.
That's really adorable.
Try that one.
I love it.
So that's the personal stuff. Business wise, lots and lots of print reports continue to pour in. I finally heard back. I did a Word project, a sort of a very involved Word template, and I finally heard back from the client. I had my sort of fingers crossed, and she said, "It's amazing. It's wonderful."
Cool.
And I sort of breathed a sigh of relief because it's just such a I hate Word. All right, we're not gonna trash Word. So that's what I'm doing.
Cool. I think Tom Howell said that the majority of his business is print documents, and I'm getting hit with them too, Nolan. I have tons of print that I'm working on now, both in PowerPoint and in Word. The Word project that I'm working on is a pitch document for this large healthcare insurer that they use in all of their pitches with major corporations. So that's a fun project. I get to train users on how to edit it and everything. So I'm trying to build it properly. I'm also helping onboard a CEO for the same company. So it's a really fun period of time working on a variety of projects. On the personal side, we're going into the holiday. So Saturday, I'm leaving to go to a party in Iowa, Northern Iowa. And get this, because we're going to be in Iowa and because I can't get I can't see Hamilton in Chicago or Minneapolis. We're going to see Hamilton in Des Moines.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Traveling troupe is a traveling troupe. Yes, that could be phenomenal.
That's right. Right. That'll be fun. And then from there, we're going to further deeper into the heartland of the country, and we're going to celebrate the holiday in Nebraska at my daughter's home.
A Midwest tour.
Indeed.
There it is. Okay, so in the news, I got a really good one. This, and you know what, you're probably both going to say, hey, I've heard of this guy, but have you heard of this guy's name? Is, and I'm not sure about the pronunciation of the last name, James Vitich. He's a comedian. He's done a number of bits on the Conan show. Look him up on YouTube. It's James. That's V-E-I-T-C-H. He is funny.
Yeah,
he's
he is.
He's fairly younger. Okay, see. So
yeah, yep.
But better as he uses PowerPoint to support his entire routine. And it's not that it's obviously PowerPoint. It's often set up to deliver. He uses the slides, if you will, or the animation to deliver the punchline. Somebody else pointed out to me, like, you got to watch this. I think this is what you do. I'm like, well, it's not really,
really
what I do.
Yeah.
But I watched this one about it was him recounting a text message dialogue with a renter that was texting him for help, but he's not the landlord, but he didn't tell the person that. And
well, he tried.
And it's just hysterical, but he uses PowerPoint to support this whole skit that had nothing to do with PowerPoint. I'll put a list on there. I think he's probably should be an ambassador for the program to show this is what PowerPoint really is not made to do, but what it can do.
Well, I didn't know about him, but he's hysterically funny, and he does. I'm not sure. Does he even say I'm using PowerPoint? He just has a screen, and he shows visuals. So whether it's an animated text message or just photos or whatever, he's really
blowing up the walls.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, so he's just sort of using this visual animation. Well, I have a similar one to that. There's a magician named Matt Marcy, and I like to think I'm pretty up on my magicians, having been in that world, but I didn't know about this guy. He was on Penn & Teller Fool Us last week, and he comes right out and says, I'm going to use PowerPoint to do a card trick. And it's very, very funny. He just sort of sends up PowerPoint as he's doing it, sends up data visualization, and it's quite good. So we'll there's a link for him there as well.
Oh, awesome. I got to look at that one. Anything else?
Microsoft is starting to roll out a simplified ribbon for the Office.
Yeah.
Now, I believe they've been a little, you know, as usual, a little hazy on the details and the timing and all that stuff. I believe they're starting with the online version first.
Yep.
And essentially what it is they're hiding, let's not getting rid of, but they're hiding a lot of the lesser used buttons on the ribbon. So, for example, they've decided, oh, most people 90% of the time only use these six buttons. So those are the only ones they're going to see. And if you want to see more, you have to, you know, click a drop down or something to show the others. But it's user experience. It's based on lots of data. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I'm curious. I guess
I think it's just another push into their AI. Like we're going to use artificial intelligence to determine what is the most used. Now, the thing I'm curious about, is it most used by you or most used by the what they deem most used, they being Microsoft and their analytics?
From what I read, it's going to be everybody. They're averaging. I don't think they're going user to user, although certainly that could be something in the future.
Well, you know, when you collapse PowerPoint, when you're not, or any Office app, when you're not working in the full screen, you know, you start making it a smaller and smaller window. It starts simplifying what tools are available. So it's kind of like that. But in this case, it becomes basically a QAT bar. It just becomes one little line and it lists off that many command options within the one line. I'm kind of curious on the desktop how it's going to roll out, because right now, a lot of times I collapse the ribbon so I have more workspace, because I have my QAT and I know all my other commands, or in review mode. So is there going to be, is it like two stages? Can I go to this one line simplified ribbon, or can I go to no ribbon at all? I want to make sure that I don't lose my no ribbon option, is my concern.
And the answer to your question is we have no idea.
Yeah, it's exactly. All exactly. So Jamie Garok, you've worked very closely with him, Nolan, on his add-in for the Mac. He is beta testing a theme custom color component of that add-in, and I'm testing it right now. It's pretty easy to work with. It still doesn't make it portable. I still can't export the custom colors and reuse them in the theme, but it's very nice. That said, Shams is a really great option still. And I just realized I was having trouble with it for literally the last couple of years. This is Shams color swatch add-in I'm talking about. And I realized that I was downloading a version from an old site. And so, Troy, I went to your site and was able to get the version that worked. I think you posted that in, I don't know, 2010 or something. Yeah, a long time ago, and it was still more current.
I have not tested Jamie's one. I still pull out Shams for using its Create Color Swatch slide. It's awesome. And you know where I mainly use it now is only when I need to add an additional row of I use it to do the XML coding for me to add the extra
for the custom colors.
Custom colors, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm actually we got a template right now where the it's a rollout we had already done. They're now doing an update and they've rebranded themselves. Well, I should say they've updated their brand and they've changed out their main color, which is great because it means they need to come back to us and we get to redo all the same documents. But now they have tertiary colors beyond what was there. And I was like, okay, we can code those in. And Lori's like, how are you going to do that? I was like, well, I'm going to pull out this little add-in. It's going to do it for us. And I'm not going to look at the XML.
Right.
Have you? I'll be curious to test Jamie's along with that. Nolan, have you used this one?
Yeah, I've been testing it the last couple of days. I did not know about Shams. To ever have had a use or a reason to add custom colors. But I mean, I generally, if a client's like, hey, can we have 30, you know, colors in our palette? I kind of try to advise them.
Yes.
Like for lots of reasons. But there are legitimate reasons. And in Jamie's as of now, you can add up to 64 custom colors.
Really? It's not 50.
Yeah. So if your normal color palette, it's a grid. It might be 64, including all the tints.
Mm-hmm.
So it basically allows you another version of that, which can be completely customized with. So one use I saw for it, and we might talk about this as it gets more developed, but is if you don't like the tints that Microsoft gives you, you could basically create a second palette with custom tints right below it.
But you cannot get rid of Microsoft's tints, so they're still available, correct?
Okay. No, they'll still be there.
Okay.
Yeah.
And another cool thing with custom colors that you put in, you can name the colors.
Right.
You can't do that to tints or the normal color palette.
Okay.
Right. Oh, so when you do a little rollover on the custom, it does the naming instead of the RGB?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sure. Yeah, mm-hmm. And Jamie's tool allows you to just type in the whatever names you want. So it's just sort of adding to and expanding this current tool set. And right now it's not available on the Mac, but he thinks it might be.
Really awesome. So yeah, the one from Shams, I just counted. Now I got to count again. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. It does 12 custom colors. But the other thing it does, it creates little color chips and it puts the RGB value in each of them automatically. Because in our templates, we actually roll out a slide with a color chip. Here's your color scheme and here's the RGB values, all of them. And it's really nice to have that automated. So
it's
it back.
Very nice.
I do use Shams all the time. I use it to make those color chips and then I just put them into our slide. So I actually don't use the slide it creates, but it automates another little process there. It's very, very cool. So on the add-ins front, releasing this week will be a new version of an updated version of Tools 2, which is version 7.2. Just received the notice from Gil Segal, and it's pretty cool. It's I wouldn't say it's a very robust release. It does really a couple of things. One is it has consolidated layouts because I've talked to people that use it. When you install Tools 2, it puts a whole ribbon on there. And it's got everything on there. It's a little overwhelming for a lot of people. Now, I personally use the full ribbon, but one thing he did do is it now has three presets. So it has a very basically simple, moderate, and everything type of layout. So it makes it easy to kind of ease into using it, which is
pretty
cool.
That's a good idea. Yeah, I like that.
Some bug updates. And then there's, I'm sorry. Consolidate layouts is the new tool. I'm sorry. It has three layout modes, but consolidate layouts is a new tool in here. Now, have you guys heard about this at all?
No, explain it because.
Okay, so let me explain this and see if you think this would be as big a deal as I do. So the consolidate layouts, I think, is going to be huge. I need to do some more testing, but basically here's what it is. You know how you get a slide deck and everybody, you know, they insert a new slide and they say keep source formatting. So suddenly you end up with like 9 of the same master slide in the presentation. Consolidate layouts Let me explain how I want to do this. So I insert a new slide, let's just say a title slide, but I insert a new slide based on the layout that I want to use, the actual real master. And I click on that one, and then I say, click the consolidate layouts. It'll take every title slide in the deck and move it to that master and that layout.
Oh.
So in other words, it's doing, you know, right now it's a manual process. You got to go through and you got to select every title slide, go up to the thing, click layout, see which layout's associated with, readjust it to the layout you want. In order to consolidate down to one master slide set, it takes a lot of work. So this one lets me do the whole thing in a few clicks, really.
Does it automatically delete the unused ones?
It does not. What it does is once they're unused, he has another button in there that I use all the time that's remove unused masters.
Oh, okay. That's great.
But you might have some unused masters that you actually do want to have stick
or
around.
Does it ignore preserve? It does ignore preserve.
Okay. If it's unused, it is gone. I use that all the time when we're breaking apart presentations, you know, you're extracting out. It does some pretty cool things, but I'm very excited about this new consolidate layouts because it may take, I mean, we get Frankenstein decks where it's, you know, doctors, you know, we've got, you know, 15 doctors got the same template. Well, they all added their little bit. Well, now I have 15 sets of the same exact master. And you got to take a lot of manual time. Click on every layout, adjust it. Mm-hmm. Or you go into the master and you roll over the layout and you write down all the slides that use that master. Then you go back out, you go find those slides, you reassign them. Well, this could make that, you know, if you have 9 layouts, you could theoretically get done in 9 little batches. I don't know. I'm very excited about it. I have to do a little more testing. It has a lot of... Again, this tool set always has a lot to offer. Mm-hmm. I'll throw a link out there, but this one is releasing just this week. Anything else on the news front or what's happening?
Yep. Mac PowerPoint insert online video has finally arrived. It took about 5 years of people asking for it. And for some reason, this past week, they decided to allow you to link like a YouTube video or if you have a URL for a video. Now, it's nice. It's certainly been something people have been asking for loudly for years.
But why?
However, we still don't recommend it because you're going to pull up your presentation and the Wi-Fi is going to be spotty and you don't have your YouTube video. So, again, you know, for some people, it's they will want to use it. I would advise not using it.
So that reminds me that KeepVid, which was my favorite YouTube download tool, is no longer functioning.
No longer. It actually is a website page with a lot of great information now. But you read through the information, you go, where's the download part of it? All it is information. Yeah.
Did they finally start listening to their lawyer?
I think that's what happened. I think
the lawyer was involved. Is definitely this.
Oh, that's big news because I use that all the time.
Yeah, so that's really
now,
tough.
Now, there are other tools you can use. Download Video Helper for Chrome is I've actually found is probably more powerful than KeepVid, but... KeepVid was certainly easier.
Right.
It was a few different ones. It's actually slated, I think, it might even be next month. We're doing a little podcast. We're doing a little blog series on video hacks and different download practices. And that was mainly spurred by the point that all of a sudden I went to KeepVid and it wasn't there. I was like, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. So I had to go search out what other options are there.
Oh, I'll want to know. I'll want that blog. So let us know.
Well, welcome to summer. Tomorrow is the height of summer with the 4th of July celebrations here in the States anyways. And I will be out watching fireworks because I live in California where no fireworks are allowed, even sparklers. So, you know, it's not a part of my child. My children did not have a childhood full of fireworks. Sandy, my favorite 4th of July memories from my childhood are actually in Nebraska because you could pretty much set off an armory there. They don't really care. And that's what I remember doing. So welcome to a time of talking about PowerPoint presentations here at the PowerPoint. What are we?
Podcast.
Today we're getting maybe a little bit geeky and talking about how we use and how we think others could use the PowerPoint sections feature.
A whole podcast on one particular feature.
That's right. So let's start off with history lesson. Do either of you know when sections were introduced into PowerPoint?
Nope. 2013.
Good guess.
I remember it happening. I remember even doing a video with Doug Thomas at Microsoft because I was so excited about the feature, but I honestly can't remember the version. Troy.
And be very honest, I could not remember either, but you know, Wikipedia is our friend. I was wrong. I actually guessed 2013 as well, Nolan. When I originally wrote this up, it was actually added in 2010, which is when a lot of what I'll say core features were added in. So it does make sense. But yeah, so this has been around for a little while. This is a feature added in 2010 and it's been improved upon, but not a ton over the past few generations. And it's still, I just did a training fairly recently where I introduced it. And this is a room full of people that do corporate presentations. And they were like, this is amazing.
They didn't know about it.
Yeah, that's kind of what prompted this whole thing. I was like, wow, okay, if these people that use PowerPoint at a very good level have no clue. And it was a big revolution for them in how they could organize their content.
So I teach it in my trainings. I teach it in two parts of my trainings. One of them is top 10 unknown tricks or
there you go.
Like little known tricks. And so it's always there. And you're right. I would say generally only about 1/3 to 1/2 of people know it exists. And that's being generous depending on the industry who they are. So that's one place I do it. And the other place I've started doing a sort of a slimmed down version of my general presentation training, which is 10 things to make better slides, essentially. So it's kind of a greatest hits that I pull and be like, if you only have time to do, you know, these 10 things. And some of those things that like, I might take 30 minutes to talk about, you know your format and print versus screen. But one of those 10 things is just sections. Mm-hmm. And of course it only, you know, takes 5 minutes to sort of describe and go over, but it is that, I think it's that important.
Hey, Nolan, just do 5 minutes and we're done with this podcast.
keep going.
Or we can stretch it to an hour here.
It's easier when you're when you got a screen in front of you.
Yeah. Okay, practical lesson. Describe what sections. These are, you know, take turns. Describing what sections are and how to create sections, just in case people don't know, or you know, it's kind of good to get everybody's take on it.
I mean, it's a little self-explanatory, but essentially, you can put slides into groups or sections. That you can then name and move around or delete as groups. So you can view those sections in normal layout mode on the left-hand thumbnail sidebar, or you can view them in slide sorter mode, which I think is generally how most people use it because it's a little easier to see it that way. So yeah, in slide sorter, you get a bar going across the whole screen that says every slide under here is in this section, and then another bar and blah, blah, blah.
I liken it to a graphic outline. When you're looking at it in slide sorter. So I'll give you a brief tutorial to our audience on how to create sections. And there are a couple different ways. The first is, I think, a little tedious. It's the hunt and peck version where you go to the home tab. I believe it's the slides group and then the more arrow for sections. And then there is add a section is your option. And what'll happen from there is you'll get a little dialogue pop-up that makes you name the section. At least now there is an improvement because in the past you added the section, it was unnamed, you had to click on the section name and then name it. But at least right now, then you get a pop-up that allows you to name a section. I even forgot that was an option going into the ribbon. The version I use or the technique I use is to right-click. Well, first of all, place your cursor where you want your section to start, right click, add a section?
Add section, yeah.
Add section. And then from there, you can add the section and name it and go through the process. It's much easier to use the right click option.
The important thing about sections is they're transparent during the slideshow. They are literally only for the organization part of creating a presentation. They don't really play into running a slideshow, although I'll modify that in just a moment here, I'm sure, when we talk about presentations and presenter view.
Well, okay, so do you guys know that you can, I just discussed this lengthy manual way of doing it. There is a cheat, and that's we can automatically create sections by using the Zoom presentation.
Oh, yeah, this is awesome.
This is really cool. It's a hack.
Exactly. So you use it, Nolan?
Occasionally.
Okay.
Yeah.
Troy.
I leverage it to actually create sections, and then I delete the because Zoom creates a navigation slide.
Mm-hmm.
I just delete that slide because I really don't want the slide. I just wanted to create sections really fast. So I use it as a shortcut to create sections all the time.
That's smart. I've not used it that way.
Can somebody explain how to do it?
Okay. So here's my example is probably not going to work for everybody, but it's a really visual one. I've got a presentation. I've got a meeting that's going to happen with 9 presenters. I have an agenda before I actually get there, and I know the 9 presenters' names. So I literally will create 9 slides with the only thing on them. I'm just going to create title slides. I'm just going to put in their name. So now I have, you know, I'll have Sandy, and I'll have Nolan, I'll have Troy, and then I'll have everybody else. And I literally click create a summary Zoom. I just do the little thing that says select all, and it gives me 9 sections, one section for each of those slides. Now I have a skeleton presentation. So as I get those presenters' decks, I can just drop them into their section.
Smart.
Oh, and I should say, after I create the summary Zoom, I just delete the first slide, which is like a navigation right. One to it. So now I basically have 9 slides and 9 sections created instantly. That's
right. So possible. Even if you don't want to use Zoom, you right. don't have to.
No, but it created those sections for me a lot faster than me right-clicking, say, add section, typing a name. It's very, very helpful.
And how does it name the sections that way?
Based on the slide title.
Okay. On to practical, real world talk about sections. No marketing verbiage about how this feature is going to change your presentation world.
there is none of that.
Describe a real project where sections are used. Sandy?
I use sections mostly for delivering templates. You know how when we create our master slides and our layouts, and we deliver a template with content, with example slides and all of that. So my sections, I have an instruction section. I have a title agenda section. Sometimes I break those up. If I have multiple title options, I'll have a title only section and with multiple options underneath it. I have content layouts, big statement layouts.
So you're actually adding in your distributed template. You have sections to divide up the content. Really? Yeah. That's a great idea. Well, here's a question. I don't know if you know the answer. Mm-hmm. Do sections survive when you make a POTX?
Yes.
Yeah.
They
okay.
do.
I did not know that. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I love it because when I'm, as you know, I usually provide an hour webinar to my mm-hmm. key users, and I open with the slide sorter view that shows this is your template. Here are the sections. Here are the slides that I'm providing you in these chunks.
Yeah, I do that as well. And so the first section is default layouts, and then we have custom layouts, mm-hmm. and then we have, you know, sometimes chart layouts, mm-hmm. boilerplate, you know, assets or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm.
Okay, my real world example, I'm just going to build on the one I did before. You know, I've got a meeting of presentations. I'm going to combine 3, 4, 10 different presenters into a single master deck for the day. Each section is easily my best tool for working with these Frankenstein decks. It allows me to know where people go because I've already created usually a skeleton outline with all the sections. So I know who I'm looking for. It lets me navigate around. It lets me find sections. So during a rehearsal or anything else, printing, I can find the right set of slides. It's really big. Nolan, did you have another example of real world?
Yeah. I mean, really the biggest advantage for me and that I tell people to make use of it is to better organize and create your presentation when you're writing it, because it allows you to chunk the parts out and then get a visual idea of sort of the percentage for each section. Mm-hmm. So if you've got your intro and, you know, that starts being like, oh, my intro section is 7, 8, 9, 10, like 15 mm-hmm. slides sometimes. And then each of your content sections, you have 3 content sections and each of those is only 5 slides. It's like, that's just not mm-hmm. weighted the right way. So you can kind of get a sense. And also once you are done with your intro and you're just like, I don't want to see these slides anymore, you just collapse it. And it gets it out of your face. So then you can focus looking in slide sorter view just on these. You can get sort of that 10,000 foot view sort of visually of how mm-hmm. your presentation is going to be weighted, I guess. And then also I almost in every, you know, in working file, I create a parking lot section at the very end. And that's just where I dump slides that we might need again or we might need to refer to, but we don't want to delete them. And those can also be collapsed and just get.
What did you call that section?
Parking lot. You've never heard of that?
Well, I use addendum.
These are the
I'll just use
parking lot.
Yeah, parking lot.
Parking lot.
Or graveyard. Yeah. Sometimes, exactly.
Yeah, I call it a graveyard. Parking lot because it might come back.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, speed round of tips and hacks on using sections.
Well, Nolan, I thought you were going to hint at this. It's a great tool for beginning the organization process for creating custom shows, which is a whole other feature. So custom shows are these shows that you create within your PowerPoint presentation. You can run them separately. You can create, like Zoom, you can create a landing page and hyperlink to shows. Anyway, that helps speed the process a little bit, is using sections to organize those shows.
I'm just going to throw this one out there now that because you mentioned that. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that really bothers me is Microsoft has built some great new tools like Zoom.
Right.
But they don't give any love to the old ones. Custom shows is one of the ones where, you know, I don't want a Zoom. I want a custom show, but I wish custom shows would show sections in their, selection.
Yes.
Like Zoom does. Zoom is automatically going to use, it seems a pretty simple. Again, it's just code, I understand, but it seems like a pretty simple upgrade because everything's there to have custom shows have the sections in their, make a custom show from list. You still have to type in the numbers, right?
Right. That one went backward. That old screen, that old dialogue actually went backward. I used to be able to hit shift and select a bunch of slides to go into a custom show. You cannot do that anymore.
Oh, and you used to be able to control to select which ones you wanted.
Yes.
So you can create a true custom show of, we do that a lot of times for sales decks. Okay. You have a 10-minute talk. You're going to use these slides.
Yep.
Oh, you only have 5 minutes. It's going to be the custom show is going to take you to just, it's going to jump through these 4 slides. And you can't do that as easily anymore. Okay. Yep. My favorite tip for using sections, and I've said this before in many different places, is in presenter view. Each section shows up as a quick link when you click the little checkerboard. So you see slide sorter view while you're in presenter view, I guess is the way you describe that. Then on the left-hand side, it shows each section. Absolutely, hands down, the best thing to do when you're running a large meeting and you've got things to jump around with and you don't know the presenters. You've already created sections based on the presenter names. And it's amazing tool for during a live event.
So how do you get that to show when you're in presenter view?
It's automatic when you're in presenter view. If you have sections and so when you're in presenter view, you need to click the
checkerboard.
Yeah, it's like the little checkerboard one that takes it scares everybody because it takes you away from the seeing what the presenter slide is, and it gives you slide sorter view. So when you go into that one, it's called See All Slides. And over on the left-hand side, it'll show you your sections. If you have sections, if you don't have sections, it's just collapsed.
Hmm. Troy, so before sections, when you had to do something like that, did you link to other decks? Do you have like sort of a master deck to link to other things to sort of be able to do that?
Yes. Yeah. I used to do a lot of, I don't do linking much anymore. Used to do a lot of it. And a lot of it was due to the fact that marketing teams or people were scared to actually say their deck was final until they'd heard the CEO talk, and they wanted to make sure their data aligned to the CEO because there's, those type of meetings where you don't get to have, run-throughs and everybody sees everybody else's content. So a lot of times there would be updates happening live while the meeting's going on, and then they would push the final deck to my computers, and then that's what would link and open.
Hmm.
Yes, scary times.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to promote yet again the awesome and free TalkTime plugin from Jamie Garrock. It's free. That allows you to set or record individual timings on a slide, and it calculates the grand total so you can find out how long your talk's going to take. But what it also does is tell you how long each section will take.
Nice.
And it does that by doing the calculations, but then it writes into the name of your section. It appends before or prepends. I don't know. Before. So let's say your section is called, sales figures. It will write in right before sales figures, the number, 15 minutes, 12 seconds, whatever. So then you can just look at all your section names and know instantly how long each one of those will take. And as you change your timings, it automatically updates by rewriting
those
names.
I like it.
And
I didn't know that.
TalkTime,
that's really cool.
Yeah. So it's not, TalkTime is, again, not available on the Mac, but since it actually writes in and basically changes the name of your section names, if you open a file that you did this to on the Mac, you'll see those timings. They won't update any longer, but you'll at least.
Okay.
So it's,
so
it's,
just to confirm, because I'm now thinking my the gears are turning here. Mm-hmm. So if I have a section with four slides in it, and I know that slide one is, you know, really quick, 30 seconds, you know, basically the four slides add up to 6 minutes. That's what's going to put in there. If I add a fifth slide that I've preset in talk time to be a 2 minute talk, it'll update it to be 8 minutes. It'll change the section name.
Yep. Automatically, as you move slides around into and out of sections.
That's awesome.
Or hide them. If you hide a slide in a section, it automatically updates it as well.
That is really, I did not know that was a feature. I've never looked at talk time with sections, apparently. That's very powerful. Yeah. Again, I'm thinking multiple presenters, not in your case where you're thinking, hey, I've got training or I've got this or a sales deck. I'm thinking I want to assign times to each of the presenters, and I could see that update right there. Well, if you hide these three slides based on the notes we've taken, you're
That's
only going to drop this part.
Yeah.
So here's a question, Nolan. I hadn't thought about this because I have video slates oftentimes because videos don't run from PowerPoint. They're going to run from a video playback system. Mm-hmm. And I know the video is 2 minutes and 32 seconds. Could I assign that slide a manual time, but then I have to unhide it so it's available for that? Because I always have those as hidden slates. I have to unhide it.
Right.
No, this could be really cool.
You know, no, there's a checkbox whether you want hidden slides to
be totaled. Oh my gosh, you've thought of everything.
Or not.
Well, no, I've got I'm going to have to talk to Jamie because I want certain slides to be counted in.
There
not
you go.
All.
Okay.
You know what my other tip was going to be, and you pretty much covered it, is I do this a lot of times, and I just did this recently where we had a consultant had they sent us their slide deck, and it was about 58 slides long, and they said, I have 30 minutes to present this information, and they were really dense slides and really ugly. I was like, okay, well, first of all, you've got 30 minutes, and you've got 50 slides. You've got a title slide. And everything else is dense all the way down to the end. You don't even have a thank you slide to end on. So here's my recommendation. We played content consultant. We reviewed the data. The whole content became content experts, more or less. And then we crafted a 30-minute talk based on what we could pull out of it and made sense to us. But the way we started was with sections. I actually put together a dummy, what I'll call a skeleton presentation. It just had the title slide over and over and over. And we said, here are the topics we've identified. Is this correct? So they literally just got a screen capture of the sections names.
Nice.
And so it's kind of like you're talking about, Sandy, we actually started even simpler with using sections as the information flow. It was literally theme slide for start agenda. Cause she didn't have an agenda within this 30 minute talk. I'm like, you know, you're talking fast. Let's give them a landmark. And we labeled it out. It had seven sections in it, of which the last section was only one slide. It was thank you and contact info. Mm-hmm. We got approval on that. And then we moved forward from there. So I use sections as part of my storyboarding or presentation flow a lot.
Good idea.
Yeah. Anything else?
I have a loaded question.
Oh, sounds awesome. Go for it.
Do you guys have any, is there anything you'd like Microsoft to improve upon in sections?
Yes. How long is this podcast?
Really, you're Nolan, that we get through it in 5 minutes.
I would love nested sections. I don't know if Keynote has sections, to be honest, but in Keynote, you can nest slides in hierarchical levels. Yeah. So you can collapse them and you can have
subsections.
Yeah. So, yeah. So nested sections would be kind of nice.
But yeah, the idea, Nolan, of being able to nest a section within a section would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love keyboard shortcuts for adding a section. I don't think that exists.
No, it does not.
No. What about creating sections in masters?
I just want to be able to collapse masters, but I'll go for sections as well. That would be
really,
really awesome.
Cool.
So I got an example from a project we just wrapped up. So we did one where it's there's a master slide, and it has, well, you know, Microsoft has 9 basic layouts, and we expand on that. There's under 20 layouts in it, but they have a table of contents, which has up to 10 preset fields, so they can fill in a table of contents with up to 10 sections. We actually created a separate master for just the table of contents called TOC layouts. Mm-hmm. And it was so that they were all preset because it got a little overwhelming to have an extra 10 layouts in the master slide when it's only going to be used for a certain section. Mm-hmm. But they literally can go in and choose, do I want, can I choose 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, or 10 preset layouts?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And we made that its own master. But, you know, being able to nest that within the main master would be so much easier for the client. That's a great one, Sandy. Okay, here's mine. Nolan or Sandy, you already said it. When you right click and you say add section, it pops up with a little dialogue so you can rename, or it's not even rename. It's really so you can name the section automatically now. Mm-hmm. I just want to be able to later change the name of one by clicking on it, having it highlight, and let me do an inline edit of the name instead of having to right click, select rename, wait for the pop up, type in the name there. Just inline editing of those names would be really, really nice and modern.
On the Mac, you can just double click and it'll pop up. Do you have to right click on
that? Have to right click on the Windows side. You have to right click. Okay. If you double click, oh, that's interesting. Yeah. A double click on the Windows is collapse or expand.
Yes.
Which I find really helpful. People don't know that one. You know, you don't have to do the little arrow little arrow toggle.
Yeah, it's not the behavior.
But it should be the same.
That's interesting. That's not the same.
Right. Interesting.
I don't know which one I like better, but I do. Okay. Hmm. Other edits, other recommendations, asks?
Yeah, on that right click, I'd love the option to send the section to the end or the beginning.
Okay.
Sandy won't be voting for that one, but
no. I was thinking.
Sandy.
So right now,
if you got like 20 sections and you're just like, this one should go to the parking lot, or let me get this one out of here.
Instead of move down, which we do
exactly.
get.
Or manually.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Well, what if you were to click move and another layer flew out on your right click menu that showed you all the list of all your sections so you could choose where it went.
That's where it should go, before and after, like when you insert in a PDF.
Yep. But, you know, you could like say I have 9 sections and this is section number 2. Well, that presenter has gotten relocated in the, you know, moved in the agenda.
Yeah.
I could click move, scroll down to where I want them to go and move it down there. That would be
awesome.
I just still like the simplicity of move to end or move to beginning. Like that's something in InDesign when you're moving pages around. That's one of the options.
Yes.
Like move it to the end of the document, mm-hmm. move it to the beginning, and then, of course, move it to before page 5.
Yeah. Okay.
I want to print a section. I want to, you know, when you click a selection, when you click on a section name, it selects the slides within it. Mm-hmm. And then you can go file, print, and you could say print selection because mm-hmm. it's already selection there. But I just want in the print dialog to say print and selection. Have the section names in there. Mm-hmm. So it just prints, it automatically basically creates a selection for you for your print would be one.
Do section names print anywhere?
No, anytime? Section names do not show up in any printout, which I think is also missing.
I don't know if I really want this or not, but a lot of screen real estate. Let's talk it out. It's wasted when you only have one or two slides in a section when you're looking at it in slide sorter mode.
Yeah.
So maybe an option for gridding things out in slide sorter so that each section sort of picks up where the last section left off.
So kind of like in line, the little section name. I don't know.
I'm sort of torn. I just hate seeing all that blank space, and then I have to scroll down more and more to see more sections.
Yeah, I could see it because I end up with a lot of them because I'll do a little section for just the transition point. Well, it's not a presenter, so yeah, I have a lot of them like that actually, and I end up collapsing those ones really quick. You know, the other one I would like that would be really cool, and it would be cool to do this in many different things. So I'll just throw it into my ask here. I'd like to be able to loop a section. In other words, the selection of slides in that section will automatically in slideshow just loop continuously until you go to the next section. Somehow.
I like that. If sometimes I have an intro animation.
Exactly.
That would be great.
Yeah, there are lots of tricks for making that happen.
Yeah, and that's where I usually am linking to other shows, Nolan. That's why I said I don't use it as much, but I still use it at that beginning when I have an opening loop of photos or whatnot. Why not loop a section?
That's not a bad idea. I'd like to be able to create a new file from a section or create a PDF from a section.
There you go.
Oh, well, that'd be like the print feature, but create a new file would be take these slides and just save them out to their own presentation type of thing. Mm-hmm. That would be huge.
So many things that could be done on this.
So many things.
I think it's awesome. All of these ideas.
How about gotchas? Or did we finish?
Oh no! Yeah, let's go on to the what do we bemoan gotchas? About using sections?
All right, I don't like that you can't select multiple sections.
Right,
one at a time.
Yes, especially when you want to move things around. I know that these three sections are going to move towards the bottom of the presentation. I got to move them one at a time.
Right. So select three just non-contiguous ones, right click and say send to end.
You know, one that I find interesting, it's not so much a, I mean, it can be a problem, but I find it interesting that in sections, you can name sections the exact same name. Mm-hmm. Like when you're in anything else, you can't name, like in Photoshop, you can't name layers identical. Can you? Hold on. Let me think that through. It's interesting because Zoom uses sections. They can be the exact same name. So you could actually have Zoom going to the exact same named file. Where I think it becomes a problem is, I don't know. I mean, it's just one of those things where virtually no other program lets you name things the exact same thing.
Right. In layouts, we can't have the exact same name of a layout. So
that's a better example right there. Thank you.
On the PC now, you can copy sections from file to file, right? But you cannot do that on the Mac, I don't believe. Still,
and I have not found the need to even test this yet. I know that came out maybe a year ago. That option, is it work? Does it work, mm-hmm. Troy? I know that was one of your requests.
If you select the slides, say you select slides 1 through 5, which is your section, you just select number 1, shift and hold the, and then you copy. Yeah. It doesn't capture the section name. You have to click on the section name.
Exactly. Yeah, right.
So that you've selected the slides and the section to bring it over. That's the difference.
And that's nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, okay. So going along that though, when deleting slides, it doesn't remove empty sections. So if I delete slides 1 through 5, it still leaves that section there, even though it was unused. Mm-hmm. I find that kind of annoying in the fact that it doesn't make sense. But if I select the section and I hit delete, it removes that section name. So, you know, the section name is tied to the way it was selected. Mm-hmm. Did you select the slides within it? I'm going to ignore the section and leave it alone. Did you click on the section name to make the selection? Then I'm going to include the section in that action, copy, delete, whatever it is.
And I think that's for the good that there are two different options. You may want to keep the section introduction, but you have to move, you know, all those slides that you created within there need to be moved to the, what did you call it? Parking lot, to the graveyard. Yeah. But you still have that section. So I see the need for both.
But if you have a ton of sections and you want to get rid of half your deck and you select all those slides, delete them, then you're left with all these sections.
You're
so
right.
It'd be nice maybe if a section, if you delete a slide and it results in an empty section, maybe a nice little pop-up that says, hey, should we get rid of the section too?
Or to your ask, be able to select multiple sections.
Yes.
Well, yes.
It's a small annoyance, but when you're arrowing down from slide to slide, like let's say you're in thumbnails, when you're arrowing down, you go from slide to slide to slide. And then when you get to a new section, it selects the whole section and then you arrow again and then it starts going from slide to slide. So when you get to a new section, you have to hit the arrow twice, which I don't know, maybe it's an accessibility thing or something, but it's always frustrating when I'm like quickly arrowing
down. That only happens in the thumbnails when you're navigating through the thumbnails. It doesn't happen when you're navigating through the slides in normal view.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. Anything else? Any other gotchas?
You know, I would just say that you can access the sections through the ribbon. And I don't even know how. Thank you, Sandy. I'll go listen because I don't even know where it is because I never use it. But the main thing is right click is your absolute best friend for sections. If you want to add a section, right click where you want to add it. But when you have a section, right click on it. And that's where you get all the commands. That's where you're going to rename it. Unless you're on a Mac, because you can apparently double click it to get that dialog to pop up. But that's where you're going to get remove the section and slides, the move up, move down, which I never use because I find it too tedious. Mm-hmm. But it also has the collapse all and expand all. And those are, in my opinion, the most important features of sections are the most commonly used. And what really bugs me about that is I can't add them to my QAT is the collapse all, expand all. You have to go right click on one.
I need to use that more. I rarely use collapse all, expand all.
Oh, that's how I always view. Well, again, I've got these Frankenstein decks and I'm going to collapse all just so I can kind of figure out, wait, who's talking? Oh, okay. They go here and it becomes my visual summary of the whole day.
No, I'll be doing it more. I think that's a great idea.
Sections are a great PowerPoint feature. They've been around for a while. They've been improved upon over time, not dramatically or not nearly enough, But we leverage sections on different presentation projects, sometimes for different reasons among ourselves. And we have asks of Microsoft to make sections a feature that is even more usable. If you've not experimented with them or added sections into your presentation workflow, we hope this conversation has enough tips, tricks, and examples for a successful test and use.
So let's move on to pro tips, pro tech tips.
What do you guys have? Always fun.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to go because mine's kind of like a continuation of, hey, here's things that Microsoft has that we don't use, like sections. Not everybody uses them. My other one is OneNote. Not everybody uses OneNote, but I came up with this little thought after our last episode recording with Julie and Echo, where the three of us were each kind of simultaneously capturing notes on the same OneNote page. At the end of it, there was like 30 page conflicts. And but one thing I discovered is if you have multiple monitors, so I have two monitors in front of me, open OneNote and then right click on the OneNote icon in the little taskbar. Again, your experience may vary on a Mac, but right click on it and in right click OneNote in icon and little taskbar, and then select OneNote again, and second instance of OneNote is opened. So what I did is I positioned my main OneNote on my left screen, and on the right screen is where I kept clicking the conflict so I could kind of compare them side by side. Okay, what was the conflict? Now, OneNote does a great job. It highlights or gives you a little notation of where the conflict was. Most of them were just the fact that we both typed at the same time. Yeah. Everything was actually in the main one, but I could look at it simultaneously. Okay, here's the real one. And I had that second instance of OneNote running where I just went down the list of conflicts. And every now and then I'd find something, copy and paste it in or modify it. And then I'd go to the next one. So multiple instances of OneNote is a very cool little tip. If you have, I guess you could do it on the same screen. You could just, put each instance on half a screen, but with multiple monitors, it's easier. So there you go. More efficient way to work.
Cool.
What do you got, Sandy?
Well, I think I got this from a tweet you tweeted a while ago, Nolan. It's Tonal, T-O-N-L. Mm-hmm. It's a new stock imagery site for diverse stock photos. And they are beautiful. They are wonderful photos. It's not your typical cheesy four white people and one black or brown person. It's really, really well done. And kudos. I'll definitely be using that source.
Nice. Well, my tip is the tile tracker. There are a number of these Bluetooth trackers out there, but Tile is, I think, has been around for a while. It's one of the bigger ones. So they have a number of different ones. The ones I have are these little like inch and a half or, by inch and a half squares that you can put on your keys, put them in your wallet or whatever. So I have them on a couple sets of my keys, but I lost an AirPods case last month and just couldn't find it anywhere and was so aggravated. And yes, Apple supposedly allows you to find it, but it has to be open and whatever. So I went out and I got a bright red silicone sleeve for my AirPods thing, which comes with a little thing, a little keychain ring thing that I can then put the tracker on. Long story short, now, if I ever lose my AirPods, which I do, I just pull it up. I lose the case. I just pull it up on my phone and it'll tell me where it is. And the way it works is it's crowdsourced. So like, let's say I leave it in like a restaurant or whatever, other people who have the Tile app, and there are lots of them, once they're there, it'll show up through their Bluetooth somehow and it'll tell me it's there. So that's how it works. Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't last, the battery lasts for like a year, I think.
Yeah.
And, yes, it should be replaceable, the battery, because it's just a normal battery, but it's not. So you got to buy new ones. But I like it. That's my tip.
This is Troy from TLC Creative Services, a design studio team focused on presentation design. We have real graphic designers applying real design to presentations, along with presentation messaging, video, traditional graphic design, all that fun stuff. Check us out, tlccreative.com. My PowerPoint blog is up and running since 2006, focused on everything presentation and PowerPoint, thepowerpointblog.com.
This is Nolan Hames from Nolan Hames Creative. You can check out my blog, presentyourstory.com. I just updated some of the goodies there, including PowerPoint assets. This is a PowerPoint file you can download. This is my go-to document that I pull the things I need from all the time. Things like gradients and vignettes and properly made elbow lines and text on a curve and whatever, and newspaper tears where you can just type your text in. So this is the stuff, so I don't have to create it each time. I just pull from. It also includes my most often used icons, the ones I go back to over and over. So just subscribe to the website and you can download that and some other stuff there for free.
That's generous. That is really awesome.
It's amazing.
This is Sandy Johnson with Presentation Whiz. You can visit my website or blog at presentationwhiz.biz or the guild, the Presentation Guild, at presentationguild.org, or just search for Sandra Johnson PowerPoint on the web and you'll learn all kinds of things about me.
For episode show notes, links, and more from this episode, visit us at our website, www.thepresentationpodcast.com. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services, Inc. You can contact us with episode suggestions, questions for our hosts, or comments through our website. Subscribe at the iTunes Store or at our website for additional options. If you like the podcast, rate us on iTunes. Stars and reviews are greatly appreciated. Look for new episodes the first and third Tuesday of each month.